Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Last Sunday was the 4th of July. How many had a good 4th? Good time celebrating Independence Day? It was a little different for us, but we had a good time. And, you know, as you think about it, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful to live in America. I'm so thankful for all of the freedoms that we have. Freedom of speech, freedom to worship, just the abundance God has blessed us with. I once heard someone say, you know, it's like, man, I wish I could win the lottery. And I've heard someone else say, if you were born in America, you've won the lottery. You really have. We live in a country that is so blessed, that is so awesome, and I am so thankful for the freedom and the blessings that we have. And while I'm thankful for our freedoms, I never want to become independent, okay? We talked last week, we call it Independence Day, and while independence is good for a nation, not to be under the thumb of anyone else, as people, we never want to be independent. You say, Craig, I'm not sure what you're getting at. Because there's a difference between being free and being independent. Here are some definitions of the word independence. First of all, it means not influenced by others in matters of opinion or conduct. It's thinking or acting for oneself. Now, if you think about that, if I think and act for myself only, I'm going to be a very selfish person. If I don't let anyone else influence my thinking, don't let anyone else speak into my life and give me their input, their wisdom, their knowledge, then my decisions are going to be very short-sighted. They're going to be only in my narrow perspective, and it is not going to go well. The Bible says there is wisdom and a multitude of counselors. So I don't want to be independent and not be influenced by others. Another definition, it says, not subject to another's authority or jurisdiction. All of us have authorities in our lives. We have authorities at work. We have authorities in the home. We have authorities in school, authorities in our government, authorities in the church. And if I am not subject to my authorities, then I am going to just do what I want to do. If everybody did what they wanted to do, that's not freedom, that's chaos. That's anarchy, that is a mess. That's rebellion. You can't tell me what to do, you're not my authority. And rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. How many of you want to get into witchcraft? Don't have any takers here? Yeah. But when we have a rebellious attitude, where we rebel against authority, that is a satanic spirit that we're messing around with. Another definition of independence is not depending on something else for existence or operation, not being dependent. We need to be dependent on God. I do not want to live my life independent from God. I don't want to live my life where I don't realize that He is my provider. I need His guidance. I want to be dependent on God. Now, I don't want to be dependent on people, and I don't want to be codependent on people. I want to be interdependent, because the Bible talks about how we are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ, and as a body, we help each other. There is give and take, so we need to be interdependent. Being a willful, independent person who has no time or thought for anyone else produces a very lonely, isolated, proud, and empty life. We need to be people that are relying upon God. And this morning, we're going to wrap up our series on the armor of God. We've been looking in Ephesians chapter 6 and studying the pieces of the armor that Paul has talked about. And God showed me something several years ago when I was studying Ephesians chapter 6, as I was looking at the armor of God. And it's interesting because when Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 10, and you can take a look on the screen, In verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." God led me to study the verses surrounding that. It is good when you study the Bible, not just to take a verse and look at it right there, but you want to look at the context, because the context teaches you a lot of things. And the Apostle Paul, he deals with a topic of submission. He deals with the topic of submission. He goes back to Ephesians chapter 5, and he's going to talk about the authorities that God has placed in our life, and those authorities are there for protection. You can think of them as acting like an umbrella. They act like an umbrella. On Father's Day, just a few weeks ago, it was kind of funny because youth camp started, so our youth group went. My daughter was there. She's our only child at home. Our two older ones, they were working that day. And so my wife, she took a nap in the afternoon. I was all by myself, and it's like, I'm going to go golfing. Now, how many of you remember the rainstorm that we had kind of the middle to late afternoon on Father's Day? How many of you were outside enjoying the weather? It was beautiful. It was sunny. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, rolls in these clouds, and it starts to rain. And I just begin to get wet, and I golfed like about an entire hole, and then I remembered I've got an umbrella in my golf bag. So I whipped out my umbrella, and I put it up, and I stayed dry. It was awesome. It was like, why didn't I think of that before? Why didn't I get under the umbrella? And what we need to realize is, as Paul was talking about the armor of God, how do we protect ourselves from those schemes of the enemy? He shares something that is a vital principle, that if we neglect this one principle, you can put on the entire armor of God and it will not protect you. And the reason is because we've stepped out from underneath the umbrella of God's authority. God gives us authorities for protection. And so this morning we're going to take a look at that. And before Paul talks about the armor, he says in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 21, that we need to submit to each other. He's talking to the body of Christ, and he says, submit to each other. Submit to one another in the fear of God. We need to be serving and not putting our own interests first, but we need to be thinking about how do we submit to others. That word there, submit, is the same verse found in Ephesians 5:22 when he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And then he talks about that through verse 33. Going into chapter 6, he goes right into children submitting to parents. And then in chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, he talks about slaves submitting to masters. And as he's talked about this principle of submission, about being under the protection of God's authority, then he goes in to the armor of God and put on the armor of God. And yet what happens, and we're living in a day and age where our authorities are being disrespected more and more and more. You go to almost any sporting event, and if the ref makes a call that one team doesn't like, what do you hear? Come on, ref, get some glasses! You might even hear some F words or some S words or some things like that. You know, some obscenities yelled out at the referee. We see parents, when their child is not getting the playing time or the coach makes a decision the parents don't like, parents are confronting their coaches. We see teachers in the school when a child is acting up and the teacher administers discipline. How when the child runs home and says, this happened to me, instead of the parents saying, what did you do wrong, they go to the school and say, what did you do to my kid? There is this disrespect for authority, and it is in all levels of society. We see it towards our police officers. More and more, our police officers, they're being painted as the enemy instead of as being those who help and protect and serve. We see it in government. Republicans are slamming Democrats, and Democrats are slamming Republicans. I mean, how many can say there is not a lot of respect for our government leaders on either side of the parties? How many can see that? In America, it is so easy for us to get caught up in this spirit of independence, this spirit of insubmission, this spirit of, I know better, you can't tell me what to do, how dare you cross me? And as a church, if we get into this lawless spirit, which Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, in the last days, lawlessness will increase. That's the spirit of Antichrist. If we get into that spirit of Antichrist, we cannot influence our radius. We have lost our say. You take a look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The book of Daniel is a great example of how Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they were submissive to authority, but that didn't mean they always obeyed them. And we'll talk about that, because here's the thing. As soon as I said the word submission this morning, some of you turned me out. You just clicked it off and says, well, I'm not going to listen to that. Because you've been hurt by an authority at one time, and you feel justified in not responding to that authority and carrying around your venom, your hate, or your grudge, your offense, whatever it might be, and you've just tuned me out. Friends, don't do that, because that is a satanic spirit that the devil wants you to nurture in your life, the spirit of rebellion and insubmission, and it leads you down a dark path. And that's why Paul, before he talks about putting it on the armor, he said you need to submit to your authorities. I want to start reading it. It's going to be a lengthy passage, but I think it just will help us to kind of see God's heart behind this if we read these scriptures. So we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. We read how submit to one another in the fear of God. That's us in the body of Christ. Next, he's going to talk about in the home between husbands and wives, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, Paul didn't just stop there and say, ladies, submit, okay? He gave some instruction to the husbands also. In fact, it's interesting, he only gives two verses to the wives. He then goes on and gives about eight verses to the men. I'm not going to make any further comment on that, okay? But this is what he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Then Paul starts in Ephesians 6, verse 1, and he's going to talk about the relationship between parents and their children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why do we want to do that? So that it may be well with you and you live long on the earth. Now, how many of you want to live long and have life go well for you? Okay? So kids, if you want to live long, your parents don't take you out early. No, I'm just kidding. And it go well with you, then you obey your parents and you honor them. You see, you can obey without honoring. Did you realize that? You can obey without honoring. There is a difference between that. We need to do both. And then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or arouse anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Then in verse 5, Paul talks about the relationship between slaves and their masters. He says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. We reap what we sow. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Now, before we dive into submission, I just want to just do a little side teaching here on leadership. For those of us in leadership, those of us who are in authority, Paul speaks to them, and you notice how the phrases he uses, he says, hey, masters, don't threaten your slaves. Don't be harsh. Parents, don't arouse your kids, provoke your kids, antagonize your kids to anger. He says, husbands, imitate what Jesus did. Love your wife the way Jesus loved us, the church. He laid his life down. And as leaders, as those in authority, so many times our society has a warped and distorted view of leadership. They see leadership as being entitled to have all the perks and privileges and be exempt from all the rules. We have a diagram up here, and the top triangle is the world's view of authority. And the world says the higher that one goes in leadership, the more privileges and freedoms one has. There's more rewards and less responsibility. The attitude is, I'm beyond that, you serve me, the leaders work less, the peons stay longer and work harder, and it's all about what you do for me. But Christ's view of authority is inverted. Where you start at the bottom, the more you work up in leadership in the kingdom of God, your rights become less, the less privileges and freedoms one has. The higher we go, the greater responsibility and the fewer the options. Our attitude is, how can I help others? I'm not free to do that anymore. Leaders have more commitment, not less commitment. Leaders set the standard of what's expected instead of doing as little as possible and making everyone else do it. The world's view of authority and leadership is totally counter to Christ's view of leadership and authority. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, then be the harshest dictator and whip everybody into shape and tell them what to do. Did I quote that right? No. He said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, because the disciples were saying, I am the greatest. They had the Muhammad Ali syndrome, okay? I am the greatest. I am the best. I am the top dog. And Jesus said, oh yeah, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant of all. A totally different paradigm. And so that's the paradigm of leadership, all right? So we've talked about that. Now let's take the remainder of our time and talk about authorities. And this is the thing that I want us to realize. We stay under the cover of God's protection as we submit ourselves to God and to his authorities in our lives. You say, Craig, where do we see that in the Bible? Paul wrote about it to the Roman church in Romans chapter 13, where he clearly laid out the role of authorities and where they get their authority from. In verse 1 and 2, it says, let every soul be subject. And that word subject is the same Greek word in Ephesians chapter 5 when it talked about wives submit to your husbands. Those are the same two words. Even though they're not the same English words, they are the same Greek words. And so let every soul submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Okay, did you catch that? All authority is from God. Donald Trump, when he was president, was from God. Joe Biden, who's president now, and some of you may contest that, but he is the authority from God. Our police, our leaders, your teachers, your coaches, all authorities, regardless of what you think of them, are from God, and they are appointed by God. And you might say, how come God appoints some really horrible people in the leadership? I don't know. Part of it is we live in a fallen, sin-sick world, and that is the result of the fall, is that God uses both godly and ungodly people to accomplish his purposes. Think of example Pilate. What would have happened if you had a leader when it was time for Jesus to be crucified who would stand and do the right thing and say, Jesus is an innocent man, no way he's going to die? What would have happened if we had a godly leader in that circumstance? Jesus would have never died for our sins. But by having someone who was wishy-washy and flimsy and had no backbone and only looked out for himself, God used that authority to accomplish his ultimate will. And there are times in our lives God puts an authority in our life that we're saying, God, what are you doing? But he is accomplishing something bigger, something greater that we have no idea of what's going on. And so we don't want to rebel against authorities because it might get us into trouble. We might miss out on what God is preparing for us. When I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, I was hired to do youth ministry. But when I got to the church, it wasn't long, and I realized that I was hired for youth ministry and to be the executive pastor that ran the church and administrated the church. Because there was many things. I was in charge of the building, of getting bids, and of doing different things. Anything that couldn't be covered by anyone else fell on my plate. And there were weeks when I was spending maybe 10% of my time doing youth ministry and 90% of my time doing different operations and functions for the rest of the church. Now, nobody knew that. I was hired as the youth pastor, not the church administrator. And there were people in my youth leadership team, well, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? And I knew I can't throw my pastor under the bus. And I wanted to defend myself, but Psalm 16 says, David said, vindicate me, O God, for I've walked in my own integrity. God, you've got to defend me. And so I didn't backstab my leader, even though I was chafing on the inside. It was like, oh, man, I wasn't hired to do this. What I didn't realize is that 4 years later, when God said, Craig, you're done in youth ministry, I thought I was going to be a youth pastor for life. 4 years later, God calls me to be a senior pastor. And now because I have had all this experience of how to administrate and operate a church, God was preparing me for that. If I rebelled against my authority, who was causing problems for me under my leadership team and making me not, and I was doing stuff I didn't want to do, I would have missed out on the preparation, the blessing that God was trying to get me ready for in the future. So it is important for us to have this honoring heart. And I tell you, even though I obeyed my pastor, I wasn't always submissive in my heart. And there was many times I had to pray, God, help me. Help me to lay this down to you and let you be in charge. So, as we look at, let's continue to look at Romans. It says, there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance or the law of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. If I resist my authorities, if I rebel, it's like I'm breaking the law, I'm breaking the commandments, and I'm bringing judgment on myself. And that's what the devil wants the body of Christ to do. He wants us to be willful, to be independent, to be rebellious, because he knows that brings the judgment of God, not the blessing of God, upon God's people. Friends, I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And Paul says we need to submit to our governing authorities. There is four areas that fall under the umbrella of authority. Let's look at this diagram here. All authority comes from God, and these four areas, government, church, home, and work, are all functions of leadership that God himself has. He is called the King of Kings in 1 Timothy 16. And so as God gives his authority as governing, he gives it to government, and there's federal, state, and local, and then the citizens are under that. Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 to 4. And so in the area of church, you have the authority of the pastor, and then it's the board, the leaders, and then the congregation. Jesus is called our husband in Ephesians 5, 22 to 25. We also know God as being our heavenly father. And so in the home, we see that the husband and the father is the head, then you have the wife and the mother, and then you have children. And then Jesus is also called our master in Colossians 3, 22 to 23, and this is the area of work. So we have the owner of the business or our boss, and then under them there's the managers and the workers. We find ourselves at different levels throughout this. Some of you may be a husband and a father, but you might be a leader in a church, and you might be a manager or might be a worker. There's different levels where people are over us and people are under us. And this is what I have learned in my life. Some people aspire to leadership. The way up is by submitting down. The way up is by submitting down. If you are insubmissive, you have disqualified yourself from leadership. We see that when King Saul was waiting for Samuel the prophet to come sacrifice, and he's been there a week, and Samuel said, I'll come in 7 days. And it's the seventh day, Saul's army's leaving him, and he panics. He says, I have got to sacrifice so we can go into war. He sacrifices, he disobeys his authority, and then Samuel comes and says, what have you done? And Saul lost the kingdom. God began to look for someone else. The way up is by submitting down. And so these are areas of authority. And what's interesting is when Paul wrote these words about submitting to the governing authorities, the authority at that time was Nero. Nero was Caesar. And Nero was not a nice man. He was not a godly man. He slept with his mother, his brother, young boys and women, older men and eunuchs. He framed his wife Octavia for adultery. He had her exiled and beheaded. He married the wife of his homosexual lover. He fastened young boys and girls to stakes. Then he would put on the hide of a wild animal, and he attacked them and satisfied his brutal lust under the appearance of devouring their body parts. He claimed he was equal to Apollo and other gods. He encouraged emperor worship. Later on, he used Christians for scapegoats for the burning of Rome. He burned believers to death at night on poles in his garden. He impaled them on poles, put tar on them, lit them on fire, and they were the torches for his garden parties. He was a cruel and wicked man. He had Christians arrested and thrown to the wild beasts in the circus, or they were crucified. And yet, this is the same man that Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for kings and those in authority that we may live quiet and peaceable lives. Friends, you may not like the authority in your life, but you need to pray for kings and those who are in authority that you can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for them instead of bristling under them. There is a difference between submission and obedience. And here's the thing. Is it ever okay to disobey your authorities? And the answer is yes. We talked about Daniel. He was thrown into the lion's den. Why? Because he refused to pray to King Darius. Instead, he prayed to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Realize, when we disobey our authority under righteous grounds, and those grounds are when our authority is telling us to do something that violates a direct commandment of God, there may be suffering for that. How many of you like suffering? I don't see anybody out there. You know what? I don't either. And sometimes God does a miracle and he spares you from the fiery furnace and the lion's den. And yet sometimes you're sawn in two like Isaiah the prophet. God sometimes protects us and works a miracle, and then his name is proclaimed throughout the earth as Nebuchadnezzar did, as King Darius did. And sometimes we receive our inheritance up in heaven and we suffer. If America comes to a place where it is now illegal to be a Christian, what will you do? Will you say, you know what? I'm going to hide this little light of mine under a bushel. You bet. I'm not going to let it shine. Or you say, you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to renounce him. I'm going to be true to my faith. We need to be prepared for suffering. There have been more martyrs in the 20th century alone than the 1900 years leading up from the time of Christ's crucifixion up until the 20th century began. As lawlessness abounds, Satan is coming after the saints of God. He's trying to wear them out and discourage them. And we need to be a people who say, God, you are my king. You are the one that I submit to, and I worship and follow only you. Watchman Nee, in his book, Authority and Submission, says, submission is a matter of attitude, but obedience is a matter of conduct. Acts 4:19 says, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you judge. The apostles, however, were not rebellious in their spirit. They were still submitting to all those who were in authority. Obedience is not absolute. Some authorities we have to obey, but others we cannot obey. The latter include those who touch on basic matters of the Christian faith, such as our belief in the Lord and the liberty of preaching the gospel. A son can say anything to his father, but there cannot be an attitude of rebellion. Our submission should always be absolute. In some matters, we can be obedient at the same time we are submissive. In other matters, we cannot be obedient, but we still have to remain submissive. All these are a matter of attitude. It's like the little boy that got in trouble and he received a timeout, so he had to sit in the corner and he said to his parents, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Have you ever had that attitude? I'm sitting down on the outside, but inside, oh, rebellion. 1 Samuel 5:23, it says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Samuel said that to Saul, and he said, because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. What's interesting is that early in his reign, King Saul banished and exiled all witches, all mediums, all occultists from the land, and he pronounced a death sentence upon them. But because this rebellious heart of his, he stopped hearing from God, and he so desperately wanted direction that at near the end of his reign, he went to a witch and got involved in the occult and wanted to receive guidance from this witch. Friends, an attitude of rebellion is not something to play around with. It's not a light thing. Rebellion is the spirit of Satan. Rebellion is the spirit of Satan. Satan said, God, you're not my authority. I want to be like you. I want to be equal with you. I don't want to listen to you. And rebellion is a satanic spirit that operates in us. Jesus said in Matthew 24, in the last days that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. The love of many, it's talking about Christians, will grow cold. What about you? Where are you at this morning? Is there any authority, as we've been talking, has the Holy Spirit been kind of knocking on the door of your heart and just said, here's an authority that you have been bristling against? Or maybe as a leader, you've been selfish and you've been domineering, you've been a tyrant, you've been selfish. What has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you about being under the cover of God's protection? Let's pray today. Father God, I pray that you would examine us. Reveal any lawlessness in our lives, any willfulness. Your word says in Psalm 51 that the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. Hearts that are submissive, not willful and proud and independent. God, I pray that our hearts would be a beautiful sacrifice to you today. This morning, how many of you here would say, you know, my attitude to authority, isn't right. There's someone in my life that I've got a wrong attitude towards. How many here this morning, you just raise your hand saying, I realize I've got to change my attitude. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Maybe you're watching online and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about an authority that you've had an unsubmissive, unholy attitude towards. Go ahead and respond to that prompting the Holy Spirit's been giving to you. Some of us may be in leadership. We may be in positions of authority. And we realize that we're not serving others. We haven't been the greatest servant of all. We've been serving ourselves. How many would say, I need to change how I lead? I need to change how I run things in my business or in my ministry, in my home? Just go ahead and raise your hand this morning. Thank you. I see those hands. Last of all, God wants us to submit to Him. It says in Ephesians 1:22 that God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed Him to be head over everything. Question I have for each of us here this morning, is Jesus the head of you? Is Jesus the head of your life? Does He have first place? Does He call the shots? Some of you here, maybe you realize that you've been living life for yourself. You haven't surrendered your life to the leadership of Jesus. You're not a follower of Christ. You're not a Christian. And this morning, you realize that you need to get right with God. You need to put Him first place. You need to confess your sin and make Jesus the leader, the Lord of your life. Maybe some of you here today, there was a time you were following His leadership, but you've become willful and you've fallen away and you need to rededicate your life. How many this morning would say, I realize that I am not right with God. I need to confess my sin. I need to submit to the law of God and to the leadership of Christ in my life. Would you just slip your hand up this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today? Anyone else this morning? Maybe you're watching us online and that's you. Go ahead and raise your hand. Just yield your life to Christ right now at this moment. I'm going to say this prayer And I would like all of us to repeat this together. I don't want anyone praying alone. Repeat this after me. Lord God, I put you in charge of my life. You are my head, and I will follow you. I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, forgive me. My sin put you on the cross. Wash me clean. I yield my life to you. You're my leader. I will love you. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.